Well, hello there. It is good to see you again, and welcome back to the latest installment of the Plum Point Wealth Management video and podcast series. I'm your host and moderator, Ryan Ruff. It's great to be back with you this morning, and as always, I'll be joined by really the star of our show, and that's Mr. Brian Dunkley, the president of Plum Point. And you know, in typical fashion, Brian and I are going to be acknowledging and addressing a really big challenge that's facing so many families and business owner families out there in today's climate. We're going to be offering up a really not just an overview of this challenge that faces them, but really a solution that could allow you to charge right through the issue at hand and come out better for it on the other side. This is a big conversation that Brian is having a lot really with his, you know, business owner, family, clients, and really a good conversation we got in store for you today. So that being said, let's go ahead and bring Brian out and get right into it. Brian, it's good to see you this morning. How you doing, sir?
I'm well, Ryan. Thanks for having me again. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain. But I'm excited about today's topic, Brian, because I know this is a pretty big conversation that you're having a lot with your, you know, your affluent families and the clients that you have over at Plum Point. And so let's start high level, like we typically do. Talk to me, what is this big challenge, this big problem that you're seeing so many people face?
Right. It's in the news everywhere now for some time. There is an estimated, depending on the source, $84 trillion according to Cerulli Associates, $70 trillion, according to Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, in wealth that's going to be transferred over to heirs in the next generation over the next two decades, a tremendous sum. And across the board, working with clients who have children in particular, the biggest question is, are my children ready? Are they going to be able to maintain the wealth? Are they going to be able to understand what this means? Can they keep it? Are they ready? And what happens if not? And that's one of the biggest challenges that first generation clients are facing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Staggering statistics. Appreciate you mentioning those. Brian, let's take it one step further. Let's get into the why now. Why would you say this is a problem in the first place when, you know, let's say an heir isn't ready to handle that?
Sure. So in our industry, there's this common phrase called it's shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves. And I don't really like the phrase, but the meaning behind it is basically the first generation makes wealth, generates this wealth. And then they've handed over to the second generation who maybe maintains their living standard. And generally by the third generation, that wealth is lost. So it's a problem, right? And from the point of view of the first generation, your blood, sweat, and tears have gone into creating this wealth for your family, along with all the hopes and dreams that come for your children and grandchildren. If the next generation isn't ready, those hopes and dreams are gone. The children, maybe again, they maintain their lifestyle, but if they're not prepared, their hopes and dreams are gone as well. They dissipate. So the wealth itself can be lost. If we've talked a lot about businesses on prior conversations. So if your children aren't ready to manage the business itself can be lost. So across the board, anything tied to those goals and those objectives that require money, if that money is gone, you're just simply not going to be able to realize any of them.
Yeah. And then Brian, I know this is such a big part of this conversation as well, but what about the interpersonal relationships going on within a family? You know, if wealth isn't managed properly during this inheritance process, I know that's a big part of this whole conversation. What about the interpersonal side of things?
Thank you. That's one of the biggest concerns we have for clients, and one of the biggest challenges. If communication isn't clear and concise up front, and if the family isn't ready at the time of the patriarch or matriarch's passing, we often see a lot of conflict within children. They have spouses. There are lots of different dynamics that enter into play. And if the planning isn't communicated well, if the family isn't prepared, if the heirs aren't ready, there's disharmony, disunity, there's fracturing of families. It's really sad to see. But in addition to having just the wealth available to pay for college for your grandchildren or maintain lifestyle or help support your children for a second endeavor, their own business, whatever it might be, if your family is broken, that can be, it's one of the saddest things that we see and one of the worst fears for a lot of parents.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody wishes that. And it's just, it's awful to see that wealth is the driving factor that can do something like that. But Brian, if we take this problem, we look at it one step further and kind of look at the really the ripple effect of each of these challenges. I like how you kind of broke things up here in terms of the wealth itself, you know, a business as well, you know, as an entity, and then those interpersonal skills, kind of three big areas that are impacted in this conversation. What would you say is the ripple effect of each of these three areas and really how they can ultimately be impacted if, you know, going back to the big problem, if heirs aren't ready to, you know, inherit that wealth one day?
Based on some estimates, you're looking at when the first generation does pass on, some, and you have a business, some 30% of those businesses are left at the end of the second generation. So the vast majority fail. Only 12% of those businesses tend to make it to the third, and a paltry 3% make it to the fourth and on. So if with the lack of planning, a lack of preparation for business owners, that those businesses run the risk of disappearing entirely. The numbers are very similar with wealth for those families who don't have businesses and or have sold them, and now we're managing pure wealth in whatever facet. 70% of that wealth disappears. 70% of clients, the wealth disappears into the second generation. So the ripple effect there is profound, right? So the first generation, you've built wealth, you've done your planning, it's in place. You have goals and objectives for your family. Your family is relying on, they relied on you while they were growing up. They now rely on the family wealth to meet their own standards of living, pay for their college for their children, manage debt, whatever it is. If that wealth disappears, if the business falls apart, that it's done. You're starting over. You're starting from scratch. The business itself, a lot of business owners care a great deal about the business's role in the community and the people who are employed there and the entire ecosystem that business supports. Again, if a business fails, that ecosystem falls into itself. So there are the ripple effects, unfortunately, they can be really devastating to communities and in the case of businesses, to the employees and to the family members.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I know, as we like to do on this show, Brian, is look at the other side of the coin, right? The glass half full, outlook here. Talk to me about this side then. What does life look like and how could life be so much better for these families and the heirs themselves and maybe the businesses that are tied into the equation? How could it be so much better if they could just solve this challenge? And in fact, the heirs are efficiently and adequately prepared to receive that inheritance when the day comes.
I think the theme that we have been talking about along is really first and foremost peace of mind, and that for the first generation and frankly the heirs, the second and third generations, with the planning in place, that's a really important first step. But when it's well communicated and everyone is well prepared, there's a great deal of value in that peace of mind that the plan will be executed almost exactly according to those wishes. You can have confidence that your heirs are going to be prepared and taken care of throughout their lives. If you're as a parent, the business will be, if you have a business, the business will be operational, ongoing, and the children are they have an understanding of running that business and be able to maintain operations, and the employees are going to be taken care of. And if there's a sale that's required, you won't be at risk of a fire sale. So your entire wealth within the business will be preserved. Your entire wealth outside of the business is also preserved. And for the second generation, again, peace of mind, which is important, but more importantly for them, whatever it is that they're relying on for that wealth, they can confidently move forward in life and not have to worry about the loss of that wealth.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bright future. It's a bright picture to paint when you go through the adequate preparation process. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But Brian, I think it's important. Let's zoom out from this specific problem for just a moment. And, you know, for those watching and listening today on the podcast series, if they're, you know, a little on, you know, just not up to speed on what you and your team at Plum Point do. I mean, these are the types of conversations that you guys are having regularly with your affluent, you know, business owner families and clients. And talk to me a little bit about, you know, yourself and what it is that you do and you know, the types of conversations that you're having like this one with your clients.
We service a wide range of clients and are dealing with conversations like this in almost every case. And I sort of think back, so I began, my first career was as a scientist, financial services is a second career. And when I launched my own career, I began paying attention for the first time to my own finances and had a 401k and had to learn about investments and saving and health savings accounts and insurances. And I never had to deal with this before. And in my own family, my parents had, I had all the love and support I needed. I'm very lucky. But we never once had conversations about anything financial. I was at the front end of my learning curve, that learning curve right at the beginning. And I enjoyed it. And there's a lot, I found it then, it was in my early 20s, there was a lot of bad advice and bad information. Case in point, I remember sitting down with our 401k consultant and he gave me a model asset allocation, and I, the scientist in me, I researched it and I came back to him and asked a couple of questions. There was a bond fund and we were in a rising interest rate environment. And I questioned him and said, is this the right investment for me? He said, yeah, everyone in your company is, this is how we're allocating everyone, which is terrible advice and approach. So it was really important to me that I understood this well and learned it well. And that launched my career into financial services. And when once there, I realized that parents across the board were struggling with how they were having these conversations with their children and how they were teaching them not only these basic financial concepts, but with their wealth, how were they communicating with their children, with how much wealth they have, how the wealth is going to be transitioned, how to prepare them. These were common themes, and across the board, clients were struggling. So we decided several years ago that we were going to help clients with this very question, this grappling, and make sure that no matter what, our clients, their children are prepared as they can possibly be. And our team of CFPs is in position to do that very well for them.
Love that, Brian. I appreciate you sharing some of that background there. It's so, you know, I always find it so interesting that you're rooted in science, really, and then you know, finding your way over to the financial services sector, really, you know, unique ability about you. But Brian, big part of this series is we want to provide value, right? We're not just going to talk about a big challenge and a problem that so many people are facing. We want to provide value and a real solution as to how you can address this problem, and getting back to the problem of the day, really being this idea of just, are your heirs ready? You know, are they really ready to successfully inherit that money and be able to uphold those values, uphold that wealth as a whole? So, Brian, talk to us. What's the lesson at hand? What's the takeaway, a big piece of knowledge, really, that, you know, our audience, families out there that might be grappling with this very question, what they could take away and maybe even begin implementing in their lives and their financial world today?
Sure. So in prior calls together, we've talked about the importance of planning and reviewing planning and why that all matters. The very, very first step for clients across the board is to have that planning in place, to understand what it is you want to accomplish and to establish all the mechanisms and the strategies. And the more complicated the case, the more your need for advanced planning and advanced strategies. So you have to have that planning in place first and foremost. And for today's call, we're going to assume that is the case, that's in play, that planning is done and in place. So the process for connecting with the next generation, communicating to them, and making sure they're prepared, it's really, call it the three E's. You're engaging them, you're educating them, and you're empowering them. It's sort of this process of wash, rinse, repeat based on where your children are at their stage. Engagement's important. You really want to connect with your children at their level. You want to get their buy-in, and the conversation changes as they get older. But you want them actively involved in the process. Education is crucial. They can't be fully engaged and they can't be prepared without the education piece. And at each step, there are some challenges for some clients. At the education step, some clients just have simply no way of knowing, you know, how do we teach them about stocks? How do we teach them about trusts? When do we tell them what our wealth position is, and how much do we share at what point in time? And then at some point, at every stage, you're going to want to empower them. You want to give them, your children, just enough so that they're learning and they're utilizing that information and they're growing. And so I want to dig in just a little bit deeper and talk about really how you can actively engage with your children and kind of get them along the continuum. And so first off, it's never too early to start this process. It's also never too late. If you haven't started this process when your children were actually children, you want to get it started as soon as possible if you haven't. But I think one of the first steps before you engage your children meaningfully, you want to identify your family values. You want to understand what's important to you. You want to understand why your wealth matters to you, what you want to do with your wealth, and how your children, how you want them to be incorporated into that wealth and eventually those decisions, and how you want them to act and be as adults. So taking those family values. And then when you're sitting down with your children, you want to also take into account their age, their readiness to consume information, their skills and their interests. Particularly with skills and interests, when you can incorporate that into the empower step, they're really going to take that learning curve up to another notch. And then finally, you also want to make sure that you're documenting what's important to you. Many clients are going to have wills. You should. Every client should have a will with children. You're going to have trust in place. You're going to have certain strategies. That's the most basic way. It's not basic, but it's for many people, it's the primary way for documentation. But you also want to think about other ways of documentation. I've talked a bit about that in some of these stages of working with children. And you want to share it. You want to share and communicate that information. So if you look across the board at children, again, not too early to start, never too early to start. You could really have conversations with children as young as 7 or 8, but by 10, you should begin having conversations with them on money matters, just basic concepts. Maybe they have an allowance, but at some point you should, whether they do or not, allowances, by the way, are really great tools. But at some point you should incorporate them into finances, what it is you're spending on them, with them, how much that is, the meaning and the value of money, and what you're giving up when you're spending money with them for a vacation or for shoes, what it is you're giving up. So they're learning the value of money at an early age. You also want to start introducing concepts of savings and in investments for saving in the future and growing your money over time. It's really important concepts. The conversation should begin by 10, and you just sort of evolve and you add layers of complexity as they get older into their teen years. You want to have regular, meaningful conversations with them all along throughout their teen years. And at some point, you want to talk about your family history. That's important. That grounds them. That gives them a deeper understanding. And when you start adding in introducing those family values, clearly articulating that, the family history gives they build on one another. And then eventually you want to start beginning to incorporate them in some decisions. As they get older into their 20s, you want to begin preparing them as they launch their careers. You want to deepen that understanding. You want to talk to them about savings that I just mentioned, my own personal experience. Talk to them about their 401k. Talk to them about investments and asset allocation and why it's important to save. They should already know that by now. But how do you think through your money? What you have a dollar. What's the best use of this dollar? You want to save because you have everyone. One of their primary goals is saving for retirement or saving for some future large expenses. You have to manage that with short-term needs. So have those meaningful conversations. Continue them. Broaden their understanding. At some point, some parents aren't quite ready to share the wealth in terms of the actual numbers with their children in their 20s, but begin to prepare them for that. start at this point introducing them to concepts like trust, so they understand how trusts work and how they operate, why they're in place. And then finally, by the time children are in their 30s, it can be done by the when children are the late 20s, but by the time the children are in their 30s, at this third stage, you really want to start thinking through getting them more knowledge about the family wealth. You want to start having formal family meetings, and particularly if there are large assets like a business or trust or whatever the case might be. A formal process of family meetings whereby you sit down, you're communicating with one another openly, you're engaging, you're making sure that the family understands exactly what your wishes are, and you're doing this over and over, you're reinforcing this over and over again. Not only are you deepening their knowledge, not only are you preparing them in a more meaningful way, but you're also letting them know exactly what expectations are, so that that chance for disharmony and disunity that can break families apart, it's minimal if it exists at all. And one tool that's really important that you can use is write a letter, write a family letter. Trusts are excellent tools for transitioning wealth to the next generation. There are a host of strategies, but they can't account and accommodate for every single dynamic that's important to you. A family letter can close those gaps and make sure that that your children understand fully exactly what's going on. So those three sort of stages: children when they're young, the teen into the teen years, the second stage, the young adult launching your career, and then the third stage as they're becoming real adults in their 30s, preparing for wealth.
No, I appreciate you breaking that down, Brian, into kind of those three real chapters of you know, a child's life, going, you know, through the growth of their knowledge in terms of wealth. Really helpful stuff. And Brian, I know from prior conversations that we've had on this show, you know, there's always a big element at play as well, and that's the wealth manager for a given family, and having that relationship, you know, developed between that child and the wealth manager. Would you care to speak a little bit to that, and maybe when an introduction should be made from a matriarch or patriarch to the wealth manager, or rather between the wealth manager and the child, and where that relationship goes and how that plays a role?
Yeah, that's a great question. You do want to introduce your children to advisors when they're ready, when you're ready. That is a preference across the board. So people are different. Families are different. Children amongst in the same family are different from one another. I have worked with very young children at 10, 11 years old, just to help introduce them to concept. What is a stock? Why might you want to own a piece of a company? I've also worked with parents who aren't ready for them to meet with me or their advisor, just giving them the tools to take over the education piece on their own at that point. So it's really a family preference. Mm-hmm. Same with teens. At some point, we strongly encourage that our teens, once they start working, that they open up a Roth IRA or open up some sort of investment account, and they're very active participants in their own finances, their own savings and investing. That's a common time for when we begin to get introduced to these clients. And it's not, we're just meeting with them and we're educating. We're communicating and educating. That's all. By the time children are young adults, we really should be introduced to children, and we really should be working more actively with them and preparing them.
Gotcha. And Brian, a lot of great information here for you know, parents and wealthy families out there here in today's episode. Taking that lesson, you know, taking those three stages and, you know, the different conversation points that you mentioned within those three stages, and, you know, maybe some of our audience out there is sitting there thinking to themselves, okay, this is good, but like, where do I begin? How do I start? You know, they still have questions, right? What would you say is the best way they could get started and begin utilizing some of that knowledge and begin really implementing it? And maybe they just need a helping hand from their wealth manager along the way, but, you know, what for somebody in that space, you know, that moment of needing to get started on this education efforts, what would you say to them, and how could they really get started?
Our experience is almost every client needs help here. Again, people are different. You have some clients who are very active in communicating and educating and engaging, and they're the children are standout people and really well prepared to launch careers and be adults. Even in those cases, though, a neutral third party, objective third party, is helpful and crucial to facilitating that communication, to be an additional sounding board, and to advancing education. Most clients, unfortunately, have no idea where to start. And so they really need some help in how you communicate and educate and prepare children. So everyone, but from who we've met, everyone has a need for an advisor. And many of you have your own advisors. But at this point, I think just the same as ever. We have a choice. And so do nothing, right? Do live life and hectic schedules and chaos and manage it day to day, or meet with your advisor, sit down, say it's time. We really need to start this process. We have to begin preparing our children. Let's start now. If you don't have an advisor, you want a second opinion, reach out to us. Our website's posted at the bottom. We'd be happy to talk to you, give you a second opinion.
Fantastic. And Brian, before we wrap up, and as we're wrapping up today, I think it's always important that we share, some examples, right? Like we've said throughout the course of the show today, I mean, this is a conversation that you have regularly with some of your affluent family clients. And could you share maybe an example, a story, if you will, of a family client of yours that you've gone through these educational efforts? You've worked with that matriarch or patriarch to educate their heir, and what that experience and scenario and really the outcome on the back end, what that looks like?
Three quick stories.
Okay.
The first is this one, unfortunately, is common. We met with a family, and the patriarch had passed away. They had a business interest, had done extraordinarily well. The patriarch did really great, terrific planning in place. He passed away. The matriarch was left, and she was the glue that held the family together. She passed away. So the planning was in place. The wealth was immense, enough to take care of many, many generations. And the matriarch, the planning was sophisticated enough to do what the patriarch and matriarch needed, but none of the other things were tied together. So when the matriarch passed away, immediately siblings were fighting with one another. Immediately, there was one sibling who had taken more of a lead in all operations across the family. They were fighting him. There was disharmony, disunity. It fell apart. That family remains now broken. There is no way bridge to bring them back. So our advice in this instance is just we do what we can, and we're trying to work with each family individually, but the decisions needing to be made as a group are extraordinarily difficult, and that is all too common. It's tragic, it's sad, and it happens all the time. The other two stories to combat that, we had a client who sold a business. Again, sophisticated strategies to transition some of that wealth in a tax-efficient manner to the next generation. But he was smart and said, hey, listen, money does funny things to people. So what do we do here? How do we prepare this and make sure that doesn't happen to my children? So we initiated family meetings. And once a year, every year, we meet with them. The children were young adults. Now they're in their 30s at this point. But this family is together. We meet regularly, and the changes have inevitably over the last few years, changes have been made to the family structure, to the plan. They're communicated upfront. We're told why the expectations are there. And I am very comfortable and confident this family is going to stay together after the patriarch and matriarch pass away. And then just to give you an example of working with younger children. So we had a family whose daughter had an interest in the market and stock market. She's 10 years old. So we sat down with the parents and with her, and we talked about a stock, and she is hungry. She ate it all up. And unbeknownst to me or to the parents, her fifth grade class had a stock market club. she participates in that. She leads in that. She's pride and she takes pride in her knowledge and is confident and is teaching her other classmates on what a stock is. And it's a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing those stories, especially from three different lenses. I mean, you've got the family disharmony on one when, you know, proper planning isn't done. And that is a completely avoidable scenario when you have these types of conversations ahead of time. Then you've got, you know, the older family, you know, older individuals in the family having those regular meetings to make sure everybody's aligned. And then, really good stories there, Brian. Appreciate you sharing that. And as we're wrapping up today, one final time, you know, for our audience out there, as they're digesting this conversation, this idea of are my heirs really ready to take on that wealth one day? Well, the answer should be yes. And if it's not, there are steps, there are measures you can be taking right now today. Brian, if anybody needs help going through that process, getting that started, they're interested in getting your team's take on this. Again, what's the best way they could reach out to you and your team to just open up a dialogue?
Thanks, Ryan. The quickest way, visit our website that you see displayed at the bottom here. Give us a call, set up a discovery meeting, have a conversation with us.
Fantastic. And you saw the link at the bottom of the screen there, folks. And really appreciate, Brian, you carving some time out of your day. I know you've got clients to serve, and we'll let you get back to doing that. But looking forward to being back with you on the next one and jumping into another topic here soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Take care.
Alrighty, appreciate it. And hey, look, we want to take one final moment, as always, and thank you guys, our audience, for stopping by and being with us here on the show today. If you took anything away from today's conversation and you benefited from it in any way, shape, or form, go ahead and subscribe to the show, whichever platform you check this out on today. That way you never miss out on another helpful conversation between Brian and myself, where we identify, you know, just different wealth management topics that Brian is having routine conversations, on with his clients regularly. And by subscribing, you'll never miss out on one of those conversations. So for Brian, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long, but we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on today's installment of the Plum Point Wealth Management video and podcast series.